Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Whenever I hear the story of Mary told that way, I'm reminded that there is so much more to the Christmas story than we could possibly imagine. For those of you who don't know me, my name is April Colquitt. I'm a Wellspring Kids Director, and it's a privilege and honor for me to be here today as we begin to open this series, The Story of Christmas. A few years ago, I bought this bracelet for myself. You can't see it from where you're sitting, but it says, "Don't miss it." And I bought this bracelet because I wanted to remind myself that the time that I have with my kids is limited, and I want to make the most of every opportunity that I have. Because sometimes as parents, those of you who have children in the room, you know that we can get so wrapped up in the tough stuff of parenting, the hard, stressful moments, that we forget what a gift they are and that our time with them is so short. And so I got this bracelet, and every time I would put it on, I would think to myself, don't miss it today, April. Don't miss it. And for a little while, it worked. And then it became like such a staple part of my everyday outfit that it kind of lost its significance. It just sort of became so normalized on my wrist that I stopped looking at it and remembering what it was there for. I mean, when my 8-year-old needs an attitude adjustment, or I've asked my children for the 10th time to pick up their stuff or do what they're supposed to do, I'm not looking at my wrist and thinking, don't miss it. You might have some things like that that you've put in place in your life to help remind you to do something important or to remind you of something that you don't want to forget, but you maybe see it so much that eventually you've stopped remembering to remember it. And so this past weekend, we were decorating our house for Christmas like the normal people do. If you were in here earlier for the welcome, you get that joke. If you didn't, you should get here earlier for the welcome. Just saying. Anyway, we were decorating our house for Christmas this weekend. As I unboxed our nativity set, I started to kind of think that maybe that is what has happened with the story of Christmas. For most of us, a nativity set is a staple part of our Christmas decor. Some of you might have more than one. We actually have 3 at our house. And so every year we unbox our nativity sets and we put them in the proper place in our home where every year our nativity set goes, right? And I wonder if the nativity set has become such a key piece to our Christmas decor that it's lost its meaning and we've forgotten to remember. Has it just gotten so swallowed up by all the other ornaments and Christmas gifts and Christmas elves that we've stopped remembering to remember the meaning of the nativity set? If you are like me, you might have grown up seeing a nativity set every Christmas. You might have even played with your set at your house as a kid. I did, and at my grandmother's house. And you probably know all of the characters in the nativity story. There's Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the angel and the shepherds and the wise men. You might even know the story so well that you could easily retell the story of Christmas. Mary, the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby. And then Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and there was no room for them in the inn. And so when baby Jesus was born, they put him in a manger, and the shepherds and the wise men came to visit. The end. And then when Christmas is over, you pack up your nativity set, and you put it back in the box until next year. And every year at the end of the Christmas season, I find myself asking, did I just miss it? Did I just blow through Christmas with shopping and parties and Hallmark movies, chasing the magic of Christmas and miss the miracle of Christmas? Because it is a miracle. The story of Christmas is a miracle. We have normalized it with time and our culture, but the story of God sending his son to rescue the world is a miracle. And Jesus obviously is the star of this story, but the other characters in the nativity set aren't just cute little figurines. As we just heard in the story of Mary a moment ago, these other characters represent real people with real stories and real struggles, even though they were right in the middle of this miraculous story that took place. And so this Christmas, we're going to unbox the story of Christmas by looking at who these people are. Because they were real people just like you and me, I believe there's so much that we can learn from them. And so we're going to be unpacking this story over the next several weeks to look at the people who were right in the middle of this miracle. And today we're going to look at the story of Mary a little bit closer. You might think you already know Mary. Most of us imagine Mary as this sweet, humble young mother with glowing with the look of joy on her face as she has just given birth to her very first child. But today I want to give you maybe a little bit of a different perspective of Mary. Maybe one that you haven't considered before, but one that I think you're going to be able to relate to. So we're going to look at the Christmas story. It's actually, the birth of Jesus is only told in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke. And Luke is the only one who gives us the details about Mary. And so if you have your Bibles and if you want to follow along with us today, you can. The scriptures that we're going to be looking at will be up on the screen for you. But before we start to turn to Luke chapter 1, I want to give you a little bit of history that's key to this story. Because hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah told God's people, the Israelites, that God was going to send a king to rescue his people. And that this king would come from the line of Judah through the house of King David. And that this king would put an end to the evil and suffering. And that his kingdom would last forever. And the people had spent hundreds of years in slavery and exile, so they were desperate for a savior. But one by one, these kings failed to destroy evil. And the people were left waiting and hoping for this savior king to arrive. And this is where we're going to meet Mary. Mary, as you may have heard before, was just a very young teenage girl. Most historians and scholars believe that Mary was only somewhere between the ages of 12 and 14 years old. That is so young. To us, that's just a teenager, a young teenager at that. But in Mary's time and in her culture, she was the common age for a young woman to get married. But even still, that's not a lot of life experience. If you have a teenager in your home and you're raising teenagers, the lack of life experience is even more evident, right? Students, you don't know as much as you think you do. But Mary had a very ordinary life before Jesus came into the picture. But still, probably a pretty satisfactory and comfortable life. She was already engaged to a man named Joseph. This was a betrothal, meaning this was an arranged marriage. Mary and Joseph might not have even known each other all that well. But I believe that Mary was probably like any other girl. She was so excited about her wedding day. Maybe she was already planning who she was going to invite and picking out the colors of the flowers. Maybe she had chosen her dress and she was planning her wedding feast. She was probably anticipating life as a young married woman, how she would care for her home and take care of her husband. And maybe she was even having hopes of becoming a mother someday down the road, like after she'd been married for a few years. But God had other plans. In the middle of Mary's very ordinary life, something extraordinary happened. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Now, before we go any further, let me take just a moment and explain who Elizabeth was, because this is kind of key to the story as we keep moving. Elizabeth was Mary's relative, and Elizabeth had been unable to have children. And then finally, God allowed Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah to miraculously conceive a child in their old age. Elizabeth would give birth to John the Baptist, who later would spread the news that the Messiah was coming and for the people to get ready. John the Baptist preceded Jesus just before his ministry began. And so that's who Elizabeth is. She's going to come up again later, so you've got to know that little tidbit if you weren't aware of who she was. So Mary is going about her ordinary, everyday life. I imagine she's sweeping the floor, folding laundry. Maybe she's taking a walk down the road, and out of nowhere, an angel shows up. Here's what happens. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." I don't know what Mary was doing, but I imagine when an angel showed up and started talking to her, she froze in fear. And this angel doesn't say, "Greetings, Mary." He says, "Greetings, favored woman." If I was Mary, I would start looking around, who is the favored woman that this angel is talking to? Surely it can't be me. But Mary realized she's the only person around. And so she starts to get a little crazy. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Confused and disturbed, I guess so. She's probably thinking, am I dreaming? Am I seeing things? Am I going crazy? Why is an angel talking to me of all people? And he continues, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, not once, but twice, the angel lets Mary know that she has found favor with God. So as I've studied the story, I've wondered, why did he tell her two times that she was favored? And here's what I think. The angel is about to deliver some crazy, terrifying news to Mary. But he wants to make sure that Mary knows this is a good thing. God is pleased with her. He has found favor with her. God loves her deeply, and she is favored by God. This is a good thing, the news that's coming. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Well, that doesn't sound so bad, right? Mary had probably hoped to become a mother someday, so that doesn't sound so bad that she's going to have a baby. But then as the angel continues to explain, it's evident that this is not just any baby. "He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." This baby sounds like a big deal. A big deal. This is an important baby. But I think this is the moment where Mary starts to get a little bit of clarity. Because oddly enough, what the angel is telling her actually sounds familiar. She's heard the prophecies about a king who would come to rescue Israel and that his kingdom would last forever. She's actually been anticipating it and believing it for her whole 14 years. So this isn't shocking news to her. What's shocking is that it sounds like she's going to be the mother of this baby. So that can't be right. Maybe the angel has the wrong person because Mary asked this question. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." She's like, "Look, angel, you might have come to the wrong person because I'm not even married yet, and I promise you I haven't been with any man." But the angel tells her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Now, that's a lot to take in. Mary is going to become pregnant, but she's going to become pregnant with God's baby. Every time I say that out loud, it sounds unbelievable to me. And I imagine if you're the one being told it will happen to you, it's even more unbelievable. But I wonder if we have heard the term virgin birth so many times that we've normalized it and we stop remembering the miraculous nature of how Jesus came into this world. The angel is telling Mary that she will become pregnant by God alone. Hearing that you are going to have a baby could be exciting news for some. But the way that this baby would be born and the significance of the baby that Mary would carry must have been overwhelming to her. So as her heart starts to race, her mind is filled with all kinds of questions, wondering about all the things that are going to take place. And I love this part in the story because the angel is about to give Mary some more news. And it's something that is so specific. This is just for Mary. Listen to this. "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month." Now, Mary would have known that Elizabeth couldn't have any children. So when she hears that Elizabeth is pregnant, She's probably so happy for her, but she can't deny that this is a miraculous thing that has happened. Elizabeth is pregnant. And if Elizabeth is pregnant, then what the angel is telling Mary is going to happen to her could also be possible. Can you see the kindness of God in that news? Elizabeth's pregnancy was not a coincidence, and the angel was sharing that news with Mary on purpose. There was a purpose in him telling her that. God is trying to demonstrate to Mary his power and his perfect timing in a very tangible way that Mary would be able to see the very next time that she saw Elizabeth. She wouldn't be able to miss that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. So next time she saw her, she would know the truth of this message, the truth of this miracle. God is giving Mary that news to help her have confidence in what he's telling her. It's what I call a God wink. Sometimes God gives us these little nods of assurance in our life so that we are reminded of his presence and his power in the details of our life, so that we know we can't miss what he's telling us. Can you think of a time when God has given you a little nod of assurance? Maybe through a well-timed text from a friend, or maybe you're having a conversation with someone and they said something just in passing that was exactly what you needed to hear that day. They had no idea what they were even saying, but it's exactly what you needed to hear. That's God talking. That's a God wink. That's a little nod of assurance. That happened to me 3 times this week. 3 times God put something in front of me just to let me know, April, I've got your back. You're on the right track. That's a God wink. God is in the details of our lives, and he wants to assure his plan for us in the same way that he was assuring things for Mary in this story. And then the angel, as we keep reading, tells Mary one final truth. For the word of God will never fail. God can be trusted to keep his promises. As Mary is hearing that from the angel, she's thinking again about those prophecies of the Messiah, the Savior who would come to rescue his people. And she's realizing that she's going to be a part of God fulfilling that promise. She's going to play a part in that story. Her life is about to change completely. This wasn't at all what she had planned, not at all what she had expected to happen. What was she going to do? Mary could be stoned when people found out that she was pregnant and not married. Joseph might leave her. Her family might disown her. Who was going to take care of Mary? The very comfortable life that she envisioned for herself was fading fast. But look at how Mary responds to this. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. I have heard this story so many times. But what strikes me now is not Mary's age or her youthfulness or her lack of experience or her innocence. What I'm in awe of is Mary's confidence and her courage. Do you notice that Mary wasn't asked if she wanted to be the mother of Jesus? The angel didn't say, would you like to apply for the job? She was just told, you've been chosen to be the mother of Jesus. And sometimes when we don't get to make our own decisions, we stomp and we fuss and we make a scene. There's a lot of eye rolling and sighing. Maybe that's just me. But Mary didn't do any of those things. But I can't help but wonder how she really felt about the role that she was being given. Did she feel totally ready, up for the challenge, completely qualified to be the mother of God's son? I doubt it. What she more likely felt was unqualified and anxious and overwhelmed and not ready at all. I mean, to be the mother of any child is a huge responsibility. But can you imagine being told you're going to be the mother of the Son of God? That's a huge responsibility. Even more than that, knowing that you're going to be ridiculed with questions every time you walk down the street, People are going to be talking about you behind your back. There's going to be a red letter across your forehead. That's what Mary was faced with. Her role in this miracle wasn't going to be easy. It would be difficult. And Mary was probably afraid. You're thinking, but April, you just said that Mary had courage. But courage isn't being unafraid. Courage isn't having no fear at all. Just a few weeks ago in Wellspring Kids, our kids were learning about courage. And what they learned is this: courage is doing what you know you should, even when you are afraid. Even when you're afraid, doing what you know you should. So despite any feelings of being overwhelmed or anxious that Mary might have had and probably had, she had the courage to accept and receive the role that she was being asked to play. I don't know about you, but the picture I've always had of Mary in the nativity set is starting to shift. Mary isn't just a meek, humble, sweet mother. Mary is bold and daring and courageous. That's who Mary was. Mary had the courage to say, "May everything you've said about me come true. May it be." Those might be the most courageous words I have ever heard spoken. May it be. Mary had the courage to leave behind her comfortable, predictable life and step into a place of courage. Leaving comfort, stepping into courage. So maybe you're wondering, what does this have to do with us? But I believe that we all have areas of our life where God might be asking us to move from comfort and step into courage. But we resist and we drag our feet because it's too risky and too unthinkable. Maybe you are in a relationship that is toxic, it's just gone bad, and you know that you should leave that relationship, but it's become a safety net for you. To leave now would just be too risky. Maybe you know you should apply for a new job because where you are at now is just not working for you, but if your boss finds out before you've secured something else, you could be in real trouble. Or what if you get rejected and you have to face that disappointment? It's too risky. Maybe you know that you should forgive someone, but you still feel hurt and anger, so you're just not ready to do it yet. There are 100 ways we could name, 100 things that we know we should do, but we are too afraid to do them. Sometimes we are so consumed with the fear of what might happen that it keeps us from doing what we know we should do, what should happen. And I get it. Listen, we just did this series a few weeks ago called I Said This, You Heard That, where we learned about our colors and our temperaments. If you weren't here, you should go back and listen to it. I'm a blue, so I need safety and security and support. And if I don't get that, I tend to buckle. And I am not a person who just walks out into muddy, murky water. It's not something I do. But here's what I've learned from studying Mary's story. Our calling will require our courage. Our calling will require our courage. You may be thinking, well, calling sounds like a bit of a dramatic word here. Calling is like our purpose, our destiny, a big, bold move that we're supposed to do. And it could be that, but a calling could simply be anything that God is asking us to do in obedience. Maybe not what we want to do, but it's what God's asking us to do. We are called to love. We are called to serve. We are called to give. Those things take courage. We are called to be great parents. In 2019, that takes a lot of courage. It does. We are called to be loyal friends. We are called to forgive others. We're called to help people in need. All of those actions take courage. We are called to live differently. At least those of us who are Christians, we're called to live differently. We're called to be light in the dark. We are called to invite others into relationship with Jesus. That takes courage. But what if we could find the kind of courage that Mary had, the kind of courage to say, may it be, God. Whatever you want, may it be. I'm convinced that that kind of courage only comes from believing. Not believing in the believe in yourself motto stuff that culture sells us. That's not real courage. That kind of believe in yourself stuff won't get me as far as the end of the street most days. And I definitely wouldn't be standing up here. The kind of courage that Mary had comes from believing in God completely. See, Mary was so sure that God was going to keep his promise to send a Savior to rescue Israel, that even when she found out that she was going to be a part of fulfilling that promise, she still believed it and she had the courage to accept it. If we want that kind of courage, we have to choose to trust. Courage comes from trusting God. That's where we get it from. Even when we're afraid, doing what we know we should. If we're afraid, courage comes from trusting God, believing that he is who he says he is, completely believing that what he says about you is true, believing that he is with you. I want to go back to the very beginning of this story where we started, because the angel says something to Mary that I want to go back and touch on. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is, what? With you. See, Mary needed to know that God was with her so that she would have the courage to accept and receive what she was about to be asked to do. Knowing God was with her is what gave her the courage to accept it. How many of you remember as a child standing on the side of the pool and wanting so bad to jump into the water, but you were too afraid to do it? Everybody else was having such a fun time in there. You really wanted to go in, but you were too scared. And then your parent or another adult came into the water and they stood in front of you, the side of the pool, and they held their arms out and they said, come on, jump. I'm right here. I'm right here with you. I promise I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Maybe you are now the parent standing on the side of the pool in front of your 2 or 3-year-old baby, and you're saying, come on, I'm right here. I love you. I promise I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I'm right here. I am with you. It is the parent in the pool with the child that gives them the courage to finally jump into the pool. That's the picture of Mary here with the angel. The angel is saying, Mary, you are favored by God. He loves you deeply. And not only that, he is with you. So whatever's about to happen, you can trust God. Courage comes from trusting God is with you. It's the whole reason we celebrate Christmas. Because Jesus came to be with us. He was fully God, yet came to be fully man. He experienced everything that we experience as humans on earth. A stubbed toe, a hungry stomach, a delicious meal, a sleepless night, a headache, a rainy day, a stressful day. So every time you feel stressed or worried or anxious, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He went to the cross with those feelings. But he also went to the cross with courage, doing what he knew he had to do, even though he was afraid. Listen, he would feel every spike that went into his wrist. He would feel every whip across his back. He would feel every thorn that was hammered into his head. But he did it with courage, knowing it was what he had to do. Mary courageously watched the same son that she miraculously helped bring into this world die a brutal death. It wasn't until after Jesus died and came back to life that she understood the full extent of how her son would rescue the world. Jesus came to be with us. And it was because of his death and his resurrection, that he's still with us by his Spirit. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he tells us exactly what Jesus said just before he ascended into heaven. These are Jesus' words. "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is making it clear to us, when we are following him, when we are obeying him, remember, he is with us. He is with you. And he's not going anywhere. So when there's something that you know you should do, but you're dragging your feet and you're resisting because you feel afraid, don't do that. Courage is doing what you know you should do, even when you are afraid. And you can have courage because courage comes from trusting that God is with you. It's why Jesus came. So here's what I want you to do this week. Think of an area where God is calling you to move from comfort to courage. Is God asking you to move to courage by having a hard conversation with somebody, telling the truth to yourself or to that person? Is God asking you to move from comfort to courage by staying in a hard relationship? It would be easier to just split. You need courage to stay and do the hard work, but Jesus is in it with you. Do you need to move from comfort to courage by forgiving someone? Do you need to move from comfort to courage by letting go of some of the control in your children's life and allowing them to make some mistakes? Are you too afraid they're gonna fail? Jesus is with you and he's with them. You could have courage to be a great parent. Do you need to move from comfort to courage by inviting someone to be a part of Jesus, to share with someone how your life is better because Jesus is in it? Jesus is with you in those conversations. I hope that this Christmas, when you look at the nativity set and you see Mary, you will remember the courage that she had because she trusted God was with her. She trusted God completely. Mary was bold and daring and full of courage, and you can be too. This Christmas, we're going to continue to unbox the story of Christmas and to learn from the people who were right in the middle of this miracle. There is so much that we can learn. And this is for everybody. This is for your whole family. If you're a parent today, you received a gift from us when you checked your child into Wellspring Kids. It's because we want to partner with you to help you unbox the story of Christmas as a family in your home. There's something in this story for everybody. So bring somebody with you next week and don't miss it. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this story that teaches us so much about your heart and your character and how much you love us. I pray that we would see the courage that we can have just when we trust you and trust that you are with us. Help us to have courage to do the hard things, to do the things we know we should, even when we're afraid, and thank you that you are always with us and you're not going anywhere. God, open our eyes to what you want to teach us this Christmas so that we don't miss one second of the miracle of Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.